You are listening to the podcast of Lancaster Covenant Church. We seek to worship God, tell others about Jesus Christ, nurture new believers, and grow together in the knowledge and love of our Savior.
Chosen. you please turn and greet one another this morning? Good morning. I noticed you're a little bit more radical today because Tim and Martha are here. It's a good thing. Awesome. Welcome. So good to see you. If you would like to turn in your bulletins, we are going to go through a few announcements this morning. Tim and Martha will be here tonight at 6 o'clock, right? And they'll be talking about their current ministry projects, so you're welcome. Please come back and invite others and hear about their ministry at Split Rock, right? Split Rock Ministries. Yeah, there's a something I put in your bulletin, and I'm not very tech-savvy, so I just put it on a paper like this. So just open it up, check it out, and you can see the Split Rock Ministries, and please come back at 6 o'clock tonight. Tim and Martha will be coming up in a little bit and sharing as well about their ministry, so what a blessing to have them. We have VBS, as you can see, we are good with volunteers, Jordan said, but all that list of stuff, the watermelon all the way down to the VBS food donations, we need some more help on those. So please check that list over and see what you can help with, and if you would like to contact Jordan, right? Or Nikki Larson, either one. And if you can help out in any way, that would be wonderful. Okay. Okay. Great. So check your email and see. They will probably have a meeting next Sunday after church. Julie and I will actually be gone. Dan Vogley will be speaking, and but we are going to be out in Nebraska. Yeah, Nebraska, visiting family and a couple of Julie's and my cousins, and just having a good time to connect with them. And you'll notice that we will be back for VBS. Julie and I, we have a bonfire in our backyard and some games, and that'll be the final day of VBS. Also, council meets on August 8th at 7 o'clock, and also just check the note, their Blue Water Women's fall retreat will be held September 20th. Through the 22nd. Any other announcements this morning that I might be missing? Yes, Kathy. Meals. You told me that before, didn't you? Yeah, you got to tell me like 2 seconds before I get up here because I forget so quickly. We need meals delivered this coming week. The whole week, if we could. Julie and I, we're heading out on Wednesday, but we really need someone to step up and deliver meals. You pick them up at 11:30. At Roxy's, and you deliver in town, and there's about 3 or 4 meals delivered. Is that about right? Depends on the day. And be ready to visit when you drop them off, especially with Artie. So please help us out on that. Let us know that you can do that. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer, so write your name down and help us out. That would be wonderful. Any other announcements this morning? We have a lot of... I call them Betty Steen's family with us, which is awesome. It's good to see all of you. So I think that's it. Nothing else this morning. Okay, Sue, if you want to come up and do a scripture for us and prayer requests.
Scripture this morning is from Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do we have prayer requests? I got a damn. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so blessed that, one, we live in a place where we can bring all of our concerns to you, and we know that you will ultimately answer them, maybe not in the way that we would like, but we know that you will still take care of each and every one of us in your own way. We pray for Derek with this brain cancer, and I can only imagine how difficult it is for families to live with people that are suffering with cancer. They watch them and they suffer with them, and they feel so helpless. And we just pray, Lord, for everybody in our community and loved ones that we have that are suffering with cancer and the battles that they have day in and day on. And we just pray, Lord, that you give them the strength that they need to get through each day. We pray for the doctors and their wisdom that maybe something new will come along, or something that's in testing would be available to each and every one of these. Julie's cousins have each been battling this for so long, and we just pray, Lord, that there would be something that you could help each of these people. Christy, my Lord, she has just had such a battle, and it seems that they try something and it gives you a side effect. And so we just pray, Lord, that you would somehow comfort the family that watches this day in and day on. Give the doctors wisdom. Have something come along that could help and cure this dreadful, dreadful disease. We pray for Mike, who is battling this infection. And I know how painful something like this can be. And we just pray, Lord, that when they opened this up and clean things out, that this is going to help. We pray that the antibiotics kill the infection. We pray that he's able to be comfortable with pain meds. It's really difficult. It's difficult for a man to have to lay around, period. And when they have to deal with pain and problems, it just compounds the problem. So we just pray, Lord, that everything will turn around with this. This infection will clear up, and he will be able to function normally. We pray for Galen, who goes into surgery this week, and Lord, we just pray that you put your hand on him and keep him safe through all of this. And we love him so dearly, so please make sure everything goes super perfect. We pray for Eddie, who has this brain tumor, and they don't know exactly what the problem is right now, but a brain tumor isn't good no matter what. So we just pray that this turns out to be something benign. He's in a place where they can certainly treat it and take care of it. So we just pray that this isn't going to be anything terminal, and that it can be removed and all will be well. We pray for Dick, who has surgery this week, and I pray that this surgery is able to correct this bad injury that he's got. And we just pray that his recoup time is going to be good, and that this is going to fix the problem so he doesn't have to have his shoulder replaced. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this beautiful day. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Sue. If we could have the ushers come forward for the offering. And we have special music, Lisa, right? That's great. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this day. We thank you for opportunities, Lord, to come together to worship you as a body, God, and as your church. We just thank you. We pray that you'd bless this offering now, that you'd guide us as we give, and help us to hear from you this morning. We pray that in your name, Lord. Amen.
What will it be like when my pain is gone and all the worries of this world just fade away? What will it be like when you call my name and that moment when I see you face to face? Well done, well done, good and faithful one. Welcome to the place where you belong. Well done, well done, my beloved child. You have run the race and now you're home. Welcome to what will it be like when tears are washed away and every broken thing will be made whole? What will it be like when I come into your glory, standing in the presence of a love so beautiful?
Thank you, Lisa. We'll continue with praise and worship, so please stand and join us. We will do our next song, Confidence. Please sing out loud. Stand up and let's worship. not a warrior to pray to lose. Feel unqualified what you're running to. The Lord with your strength got no excuse. Broken people are exactly who you use. Give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David, Lord, be my defense. So I can face my giants with confidence. Took a shepherd boy, made him a king.
Here I find my rest.
eternity and our hope through Christ your Son. Bless the service, bless Galen's message, bless the talk from Tim. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Before I do my message, I'm going to introduce Tim and Martha. And I often wondered, actually, I haven't had nightmares, but I always wondered what this day would be like when Tim Budgen would be back in the house. And I thought, yeah. And I started to sweat this morning about 6:30, thinking, okay, I got to figure out a way to get laryngitis by the time church starts so he can't hear me preach. So with that very intimidating introduction, for those of you that don't know Tim and Martha, we're here. Tim, you were pastor here for how many years, was it? About 4 years, yeah. He blessed us with just an incredible time in the ministry when we added all of this on. And I think he actually spent maybe a week in his office, the new office. That was about it. But Tim, very much, there's certain people in your life that God uses. And one day Tim told me that he thought I was being called to the ministry, in which I quickly said, you're crazy. There's no way God would use me. So with that, I am very grateful. Tim and Martha, if you would come up and share about Split Rock Ministries and what God has for you, and then I will preach afterwards. I saved my voice, so I will. Just pray for me. Thank you. Let's welcome Tim and Martha. Yes, we should have a microphone, though. Could you run the cordless up, Lisa? Thank you.
It's indeed a privilege for me to come and be here with you all and to be given the opportunity to share. And I'm so grateful to Pastor Galen for giving me that opportunity, and for Martha and I to be able to be with our friends. It's truly a joy to be here this morning. One of the things that the work that God has blessed us with is called Split Rock. And I just want to share a few things about Split Rock so that you can also get to not only hear about it, but also experience what it is all about. Split Rock is an experience with God. And so let me talk a little bit more about what Split Rock is all about. I am so grateful for Facebook, because on Facebook I stay in touch with a number of happenings, especially out of Lancaster. And I heard about Josie and her traveling overseas to Europe, and I was so thrilled. This is the same young person that was that little some years ago, and there she is traveling overseas. And one thing that separates us from her is that we know about Paris, or we know about some parts of Europe, but she's experiencing it. That's a huge difference, with experience and knowing. And I wanted to share that Split Rock is more about experience than just knowing about God. It is actually experiencing God. And I wanted to give you a biblical example of what I'm talking about. David Banner wrote a book called The Gift of Knowing Yourself. And in that, he gives an example. He uses Peter. And I wanted to share a little bit about Peter. In the very beginning, So David Banner keeps asking this question. He says, what might Peter tell us at this point about his knowing of God and himself? So at different points in Peter's life, he asks this question. What might Peter tell us at this point about knowing God and himself? So the first point, at the very beginning, which would be Matthew 4, Peter is introduced to Jesus, and his brother Andrew brings him, And at that point, David Banner would ask this question: what might Peter tell us at this point about knowing God and himself? What do you think? When Peter first saw Jesus, what was going on in his heart and mind? What was he looking at and saying? And this is what I think was happening. Peter was looking at Jesus, and Andrew had said, "We have found the Messiah." And he said to himself, "Oh, this is the one who's going to free us from the oppression of the Romans. This is the Messiah who's going to be that mighty warrior, that mighty commander in chief, who's going to lead us into freedom," right? I mean, that would be the very initial idea that was going on in Peter's mind, probably. But then we begin to see in Matthew 14, you have Peter, a pretty good fisherman, out there in the water. In fact, on the water, he was more in his natural habitat, and there's a storm, and there's Jesus walking, and everyone is terrified. And Peter is saying, "Hey, can I come out there? Would you help me walk on the water?" And Jesus says, "Come on." And he does. And of course, he sinks a little bit because he gets a little rattled. But, I mean, who wouldn't? And yet, Jesus brings him through, and he is euphoric. Now he has experienced this Messiah. Now he has seen Jesus in his supernatural ways of doing things. No longer is the miracles happening out there. He walked on water. You know, that kind of a change that's happening in him. So the question at that time would be, what might Peter tell us at this point about his knowing of God and himself? Well, he knows this is the Messiah. This is it. He's euphoric. In fact, when Jesus later on, we see in John 18, Jesus says, "Hey, can I wash your feet?" And he said, "No, wash all over me. I love you, Jesus." You know, and he's just so giddy. He's just all for Jesus. "I will never betray you. I will never deny you. I will always be for you." And Jesus rebukes him at that high moment. And he says, "You will deny me." And he says, in Peter's mind, I'm sure he's like, "Are you kidding? Don't you see how much I love you? How much I'm going to follow you?" And then, of course, you and I know that John 18, Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is attacked. All the disciples run away. And what happens to Peter, this big fisherman? He's confronted by his fear, deep fear. He is confronted by his lack of courage. He is confronted by his lack of loyalty. And afterwards, as he weeps and he cries, there's this sense of being just self-loathing. There's this sense of disbelief, a sense of shame. "Because I said I will stand for you, Jesus." And then the next thing, he has failed. He doesn't want to even see Jesus and everything else that goes on. He knows Jesus is crucified and Jesus dies and he's buried. And he says to his disciples, "Hey, let's go fishing. Let's go back. It was all over." And then that morning, resurrection has happened, and that morning, Jesus makes breakfast, and he invites his disciples to come. And during that very special time, Jesus begins to talk to Peter, and he says, "Peter, do you love me? Will you take care of these other disciples? Peter, will you love me?" Now, Peter has a different experience of the Messiah, right? But this time, he has also the experience of his own brokenness, right? And there's also this experience of experiencing God's compassion, Jesus' love. Oh, how precious! When we experience God's love and compassion, we are now ready to do something for him, like even giving our very lives for him, because of that deep, beautiful experience. So here you have Peter going through a tremendous change over his life as he walks with Jesus. And his relationship with Jesus becomes more deep and more transparent and more love-filled, right? Here's a quote that I want to read to you. Deep knowing of God and deep knowing of self always develops interactively. The result is the authentic transformation of the self that is at the core of Christian spirituality. So that's at the core of Christian spirituality. And so what we do at Split Rock is we create opportunities where you and I can encounter God in that deep, special way. And there is change. There is brokenness, there is openness, there is growth, and there is God's love that pours in. So it's beautiful. It's a wonderful experience that happens. So I'm going to invite Martha to come and share her part. And then we want to invite you to come at 6 o'clock where you can experience what we are talking about in that time together tonight. So Martha, please come.
So Tim primarily works with individual pastors and ministry leaders, and I do small groups. It can be Christian communities or mission groups or mission teams. And so the point that Tim was making is that God wants us to know him better, so much more, and God wants us to know who we are. And you know, a lot of us don't know our God-given designs. We don't know what he's gifted us to do. And each one of us has personal assignments that he wants us to do while we're on earth. And yet we need to know who he's designed us to be, what our strengths are, what we love to do that we're good at, and to be able to work with other people who maybe those are their weaknesses so that we can cover one another's weaknesses and flow in our strengths. So that he's glorified. And that's where the loving one another happens. When we're serving together out of our strengths and covering one another's weaknesses. And do you know that a lot of people actually, when they're with other people, they have gotten offended by other people thinking that maybe the other people are trying to rile them or that they're not humble, when in fact, a lot of that, if we are humble, it's our God-given designs. Do you know that some people are spontaneous? They can change directions like this. And somebody else who's a just-so person, they function best in routine. Okay? They like things to be just so. And so if you have, like, your spouse or someone on the team who is doing things completely different than you, you may assume that there's something wrong with them when there isn't. Do you know that there are some people God has designed who cannot function properly in routine? I'm one of them. Okay, there's another one. We can't do it. We can write the list. 10 o'clock, I am going to do this, and at 10:30, I'm going to do that. And after like 15 minutes, doing something complete, I can't not be spontaneous, even if I try. And so it's something that somebody who's just so can think that somebody who's spontaneous is just being irresponsible or they just, you know, there's something wrong with them, when in fact we need people who are spontaneous as well as people who are routine. It works really well when we're together. And Tim and I are that combination. And it works really well once you understand that's God's design of you. Nobody's trying to trouble one another. Another thing is that some people, they get re-energized when they're by themselves. Other people get re-energized when they're with people. The longer they're with people, the happier they get. For people who get energized when they're by themselves, after they're with people for maybe even a little while, they start to wilt, and they have to be by themselves in order to get recharged. It doesn't mean that they love people less. It doesn't mean that they're not social. It's just that's how God has designed them. For people who get energized when they are with people, do you know what happens to them when they're by themselves? They start to wilt. They can even get sad. They can even get depressed because they don't realize that they get energized by being with people. Okay? When you function properly in a team and you understand about this, these things, you know, about one another, then you can say to your teammate who gets energized by being with people, hey, I need to go be by myself for a while. And they say, go for it. They understand. Do you understand? It's just real. It just flows. It's just wonderful. So there are some other things that we'll talk about tonight, other categories like that, where you'll get to see, hey, that's the way I am. And I was always told something's wrong with me. And it's not. So, and none of those categories are better than the others. It's very freeing. Was there anything else, hubby? So getting to know God more and more, getting to know who he's designed us to be, and in true humility, we want to have him surface what our love strengths are. We can't take any credit for those. Those are given by God for his glory. See what I'm saying? That's true humility to say, hey, this is the way I am. I can't help it. I'm good at this. It's easy for me. And you know, for other people, it's not. You might not realize that. We tend to think out of how God has made us to be and that everybody thinks that same way. They don't. And we tend to think, well, why is it not easy for you to do that? It's so simple. Because they can't. Was that it?
I was just simply going to say, if you would like to please pull that sheet out from your bulletin. And the invitation is very simple. Split Rock Encounter. Come and hear about the work of Split Rock and be encouraged through our time of discussion, question and answers. So we'd like to invite you, if you have your evening open, please come, for it'll be about an hour and 15 minutes that we'll be together. So thank you, Gillen.
Thank you, Tim and Martha. We hope you come out tonight and hear more about their ministry. Even though I like being around lots of people, that's how I get energized. I'm more like Tim, more laid back, and I love Martha's energy, don't you? It's amazing. Well, this morning, I'm going to speak to you. I talked about a sermon series I was going to have coming on the identity crisis in our world today. And this is just kind of a little bit of a preview of what it means to find your true identity in your life, in Christ, is definitely where we'll end up. I am going to be preaching on baptism here before we get into that, so I'll probably be preaching on baptism in about 2 weeks since I'm gone next Sunday, because I do know there are some folks that really do want to be baptized, and we'll do a service right here, probably at the church. I think we talked about that. We'll bring something in where we will actually do a baptism service for those of you that would like to be baptized. And I'm excited about that. So, but this is the beginning of finding our true identity. So even though I'm not talking about this for about 3 weeks, this is going to be something that I really want you to start to wrestle with in your life. Many people spend most of their lives trying to fit in. That's what I have found out. People try to find some place to belong, and sometimes they waste many years trying to get that figured out. They work at blending into their surroundings, only to become what others want, not to become who God created them to be. When you think back about your younger days, for some of us, we have more of those days than others. You remember how the kids that you grew up with acted? And I thought back in my life, the ones that stuck out to me are the ones that I would call social, I would call them social chameleons. Like it didn't seem to matter who they were with, they would try to blend in so they could be accepted. Sometimes making some pretty poor choices when they'd be around a girl that maybe they thought they were going to impress, they become whatever that girl wanted them to be. And then they would go to their classroom and they would try to become the student they think their teacher wanted them to be. And for those of you who are teachers, that's a good thing, isn't it? Because you're trying to instruct them the way you would like them to learn. And then there's those kids. I would say that when I think back in my days, those that are in the locker room, the kids that were so nice in class and the ones that were so much reaching out to the girls that they were trying to impress, when they went into the locker room, they were different guys. Their language changed. Their respect changed, and sometimes they swore constantly, and they would tell crude jokes thinking that was funny. They were like social chameleons. And as I thought about that, I thought of this wonderful gentleman named Eddie Haskell. I know you know Eddie. Eddie Haskell was the kid on Leave It to Beaver that would talk about Wally in one way, and he would always make fun of Beaver. He would call him a dope and what a moron, and then soon he'd see Mrs. Cleaver. What was he like? Oh, Mrs. Cleaver, you are so beautiful. Isn't it a gorgeous day? What can I do for you, Mrs. Cleaver? Make me want to throw up, wouldn't it? But there were those Eddie Haskells in my life, and I would think, man, if you only knew what this kid was like, if you knew his true identity, who he really was. And as I thought about that in my life, I thought, you know, I didn't even know who they really were. Because I didn't understand the hurt that they were going through. It wasn't until later in my life that I understood that those Eddie Haskells in my life, they were living with a lot of pain. They were living with a lot of hurt. They didn't know who they really were because they were trying to be someone else. So my question to you this morning that I would like to present to you is, how do you discover the real you? How do you discover who God created you to be? My first slide that I want to bring to you is out of John. And Jesus says this. He says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So how do we, as his sheep, or in other words, as his children, how do we listen to the voice of God and how do we follow him? How do we follow Jesus in truth without getting caught up in conforming to the world? Which, let me tell you, that is a huge problem today. Paul says to the Romans, he says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, and as I studied from verses 3 on right through verses 8, it seemed like we had three questions, at least for me, that really came to my heart. Three questions that I think we need to deal with. First of all, who are we really? Who are we? And where do we belong? And what am I supposed to be doing with my life? It's so easy to conform to this world. When I began preparing this, I would say a couple months ago, I've been thinking about this series, and this thought of the identity crisis that we are facing. And when Julie and I, we've traveled more this year than we ever have. In the 11 years that I've been doing this, we've never been gone this much. But it was so needed. When we went to the K-Love Awards, we started out our voyage. And one of the first things we heard from one of the speakers was the identity crisis that we are facing in our world. It seemed like every time someone spoke and introduced a song, whether it was Chris Tomlin or Mark Hall, or whoever, they were talking about the problems with understanding who we are. And then Alex Kendricks gets up to preach on Sunday morning, and he talks about, guess what? Our struggle with our identity, knowing who we are. Now, I know very well, I shouldn't say I know very well, and I made this statement to someone when we were at Blue Water, a young mom. I said, my concern is when I do this series, I'm going to offend you. and I'm going to offend some of you. But I have to do what I have to do because that's who I am, because that's who God made me to be. It's to speak the truth, but to speak it in love. So I'm going to prepare you. You've got 3 weeks to prepare. But there will be some things that I have to talk about that I need to talk about, because I would do no good as your pastor to not speak the truth. So we need to understand who we are. We need to understand where we belong. And we need to understand what we're supposed to be doing with this life, because every day is precious. There are three things that have come to my mind. As I thought about this, I thought, how do we understand who we really are? And that passage in John speaks very clearly to me that we are the sheep. We are the church. We are his body. So how should we think of ourselves? So who are you really? Romans 12:3 says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, this is Paul, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. You know, previously, the first two verses, we were talking about being a living sacrifice, being a total living sacrifice. And then he says, right after that, after he says, do not conform anymore to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Then he says, don't think too much of yourself. You need to humble yourself. Live with humility. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to. The second question is, where do you belong? To me, the answer is found in Romans 12:4-5. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. I think of church, and I've heard the comment before that I don't need church to be a Christian. And my thought is, yeah, you don't need church to become a Christian, but man, you need church to live the life of a Christian, because we need each other. That's how we're made. That's how we are intended to live our lives. We are the body, and we should function as one unit. I don't know about for you, but have you ever talked to someone that's lost a limb, that's had something amputated? Our grandfather lost both his legs due to diabetes. And I remember one time, his name was Julius, and he said, I can still feel my legs. He said, my feet itch. And his legs were amputated up high. He had no feet left, but he could still feel them. But it was an intense feeling and something that he couldn't get comfort from. And that seemed so odd to me when he would say, I still feel my feet. I feel my legs. And I think of that so many times in our ministry when someone is struggling, whether it's depression or whether it's something in their life that just pulls them out, there is a huge loss felt. You and I have all felt that loss in the last few weeks. You feel like they should still be there, but they're not. I just can't tell you enough how important every single one of you are to the body of Christ and to the ministry that God has called us to. So what are we supposed to do then as the body? What are we supposed to be doing with our lives as the church? Romans 12:6-8 says this. If you don't think you have a gift, let me tell you right now, you're wrong. Because we have different gifts, we're told. Every single one of us, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith, which, by the way, God gives you. If it is in serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. Be a Barnabas, right? If it is in giving, then give generously. And if it is to lead, then do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Every single one of us has a gift, don't we? And God is so good. We are blessed with different gifts by the faith that God gives us. When I look at this passage in Romans, to me, it speaks so accurately about how am I supposed to look at myself? How am I supposed to see myself as God sees me? There's a wonderful book that's called Man in the Mirror. It's been out for many years. And I remember when I was doing my men's Bible study and I think we handed out 30 copies to different guys. And I had someone call me and he said, "This is ridiculous because this book is speaking about me in every single chapter. Every single chapter is about my life." He was seeing himself in such a different light than how God would see him. So to begin with, I'd like to give you some words of encouragement through Scripture as we come to a close today. Just so you can begin to understand who you really are. And I want you to think about that for the next 3 weeks. As we think about that and think about how we are to live our lives, what are we made for? How do we know what our true identity is in this world? You might think this first one is kind of different. Appearance. How do you appear to other people? And when you look in the mirror, how do you appear to yourself? First of all, let me tell you, you're beautiful. Your physical appearance is beautiful in God's sight, for He is your designer, He is your creator, and He loves you. And from one of my favorite Psalms, Psalms 139, how could you ever doubt how amazing you are? For you created my inmost being, the psalmist says. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, when your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts. God, how vast is the sum of them. And belonging. More than conquerors. This is beautiful. Romans 8, 31 and 32. What then shall we say in response to these things? God created you. He made you. And if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? You are wanted, and you are appreciated, and you are loved by God, the creator of all things. And we are told in Scripture that you belong to him. And out of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 17 through 22, Paul says this into the Ephesians. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and raised him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church. Of course, he's speaking about Jesus Christ. That is who we belong to. And I know for many of us, this is one thing I have struggled with many times. Am I worthy? Am I worthy? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The new creation has come, the old is gone, and the new is here. He makes you new. That's who he is. And from Isaiah 61:10, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. You are not who you used to be. You are worthy because he has made you worthy. Isn't that beautiful? It is because of Jesus Christ. And our next one, our security. When I think of this word and I think of being safe, I always think of the song Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Safe and secure. Beautiful. Romans 8:38 and 39 says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing. And from Isaiah 41:10, so then do not fear, for I am with you, he says. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And my final word, as I thought about all of this, I thought of competence. Again, I thought, that's a strange word when I think about my life. Because I've never felt like I've ever measured up to anything that God has called me to. Definitely not being up here. And yet I know this is where he's placed me. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in accord in order to fulfill his good purpose. And from Philippians 4:13, as I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And again, one of my favorite scriptures out of Ephesians. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we're told in Psalm 139 how he made us. Before we were even born, our days were written in his book. He knew everything about us. When I think of that, he also knew how we would fail him. He knew how we would be struggling with trying to figure out who are we in this world? What are we called to do? We are called to be his workmanship, created in him to do good works, which he prepared already for us. I remember when I was 9 years old and I prayed to receive Christ into my heart and I begged him not to make me a pastor. That was funny, God. So when Pastor Tim first told me that, I thought, seriously, that can't happen. Because we had a deal. And my identity was not up here. So I thought. It's very humbling to know that when God needed to speak to me, he had to tell everyone else because I wasn't listening. I don't know about for you, where you are at in your life, in your identity, who you believe that you are. But I promise you, God has a plan for you, and he has a purpose. And that purpose is to do good work for him. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just praise you for who you are. When I think of humility, I can't think of feeling if there's any way that we could be worthy to be called your child, God. Or Jesus, that you would consider us your brother. But you do. And even while we were not yet even formed in our mother's womb, you were preparing for us because you knew everything about us. And there was work being prepared in advance for us, Lord. I can't imagine how amazing you are. I think of how little we understand today about how amazing and how holy you are, God. I pray, Lord, as we live our lives, that you would just continually reveal yourself to us. Speak to our hearts over the next few weeks, Lord, as we wrestle with this idea of identity in a world that struggles with not knowing what the truth is about so many things. Questioning marriage, questioning the Word of God, questioning whether you even did the miracles, Jesus, that are written down. People questioning who they are and where they belong. We pray for the Eddie Haskells in this world today, Lord, who come across in so many different ways, and they just become whoever they think they need to be for the moment. We pray for them, Lord, because they are hurting. They are in pain. Lord, help us to know how we can reach out to them and how we can love them unconditionally. How we can continue to speak truth and love without compromise. And Father, we just thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the debt of all our sin. We thank you for the work on the cross. We thank you, Jesus, that you would love us so much. We thank you, Father, that you would send your Son into the world so that we could have life. That salvation that we would find would only be in him. For there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. And we praise you for that. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close our service today by singing our final hymn. And I thought of Jack when we were doing this. We're going to do Old Rugged Cross. So please stand. And we're going to do Old Rugged Cross together. I never even looked up the page number. I'll have it for you shortly. 63. Hymn number 63.
My piano shut down, so.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Gotta wait. Okay, we're ready.
Sing out loud, please.
Where the nearest end is, we'll
close in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for today. God, we praise you for all that you provide, for who you are, Lord. And we pray that you would just speak into our hearts. Help us to understand who we are, Lord, and for what we were created for.
Thanks for listening to the Lancaster Covenant Church podcast. For more information on gathering times and the Lancaster Covenant Church community, please visit our website at lancastercovenant.com.